All right, so we discussed last week, we finished our discussion of Sabeinu Mituva, Sabeinu Mituvecha, so we're moving on to hope to tonight to finish the bracha, starting with Varich Shenasinu Kashanim HaTovos. So the first point I want to discuss is what are the good years. There's specific good years that we're referring to, or does it just mean good years, generally good years? And if it just means generally good years, then what makes years good years? So two basic approaches to understand this last line before the chasim of the bracha. So first we'll start with I guess we'll call it to the simple understanding, but that the kashanim hatovos, barich shenasinu kashanim hatovos, that our year should be blessed like the good years, means that the year should be a year of good growth, and from start to finish, it should be a good year. We've discussed before the idea that tov means complete. Right, and therefore, we discussed with, re-mention one of them, because I think we mentioned it several times, but the Rashi in Bereishis that says that on the second day of creation, that it says, it doesn't say Tov at all, and on the third day it says Tov twice, because on the second day of creation, that which was created on that day was not completed that day. And on the third day of creation, when it was completed, it said Tov for the completion of what it said on the second day, and then it said Tov again for the that which was made on the third day itself, the creation of the third day, which was also completed, so therefore it says Tov twice. But the idea, mentioned many times before, that the idea of something can only be called Tov once it's complete. Tov represents something which is whole, something which is complete. So Varich Shenasinu Kashanim HaTovos means the years which were complete, which means that from start to finish, that it was a good year the whole way through. It wasn't a year that was, started off in the right direction and a year of, good, a nice bumper crop, and then, gets droughted out later or whatever might happen. But that it should be a year that which is good from start to finish. The Gemara says, Miyom shenechara beis amigdash ein kol yom she'ein kilaloseha meruba mechaverta. That from the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, that there is not a day which does not have a greater curse than the day before it. Meaning that every day, every progressive day, is progressively worse, progressively increased in the negative descent, the deterioration of the world into more and more chaos, into more and more cursedness. The nature of a world, right, this started from the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash represented the point of where Hashem's presence was clear in the world. It was the point of connection, as it referred to as the point of the Neshikos Shamayim Va'aretz, the point where Shamayim and Aretz kiss, the point that was the point of chibur, the point of connection between Shemayim and Aretz, was the Beis HaMikdash. It was the point which created the close connection between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the world, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence was most clearly recognized in the Beis HaMikdash. There were 10 miracles, 10 open miracles, or some, or more or less open, whatever they were, but 10 miracles that happened daily in the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash represented that connection, the close connection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the world, that recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and with the nature of a world with the tenuous connection to its spiritual source. The nature of that world, the nature of the state of that world, is a constant degeneration of the state of reality, and therefore each day that progresses, each day that passes, is progressively worse. Each day that passes is a day where the Shleimus, the imperfection of the world, compounds. That itself fits into Hashem's greater plan of how the eventual degeneration of the world will ultimately lead, will ultimately play directly into Hashem's mission for the world. But, you know, in the meantime, as it is, you know, as we experience it, the world is progressively descending into daily, day by day, it's getting worse. The Shanim HaTovos, so what were the good years, what were the complete years, were those years when the world was not degenerating. The years when the world was the Shanim were Kitikunam, when the years were as they're supposed to, as they should be. It didn't get worse. The year was Tov, the year was good. It was from start to finish. The year started on a good note and ended on a good note. Now we dive in the organization of the laning, so is set up such that we have, the Gemara says that there are two partios which are Medina de Gemara aligned exactly where they're supposed to fall out in the reading each year, and one of them is the klalos in Sefer Dvarim always come before Rosh Hashanah to say tich lashana v'kilaloseha, that, you know, we want to get rid of that year and its curses. Let's finish off the curses of that year before we move on to the next year. We want to, you know, get that over with. Why? You know, maybe the year is going to end on a good note. The nature of the world is such that the end of the year is whether or not, you know, in singular that happened to certain individuals that happened to happen, you know, he's better off at the end of the year than he is at the beginning of the year. But the overall state of the world is in a constant state of degeneration. And the end, so every year is ending off on a bad note, in a you know, it's kind of depressing, but that's the way it is, that the world is in a constant state of degeneration. So the Shanim HaTovos, the years where it wasn't that way, the years where there was a Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence was here, and the world had, in that way, it had a certain element of completion, and something which is complete doesn't deteriorate, something which is whole, something which doesn't have any kinks in the armor. So then there's nothing to, there's no way to break it open. Once there's kinks in the armor, once there's already the cracks, so those cracks, those fractures, those will get worse. Those will deteriorate. But the world, when it was in a state of at least a certain element of perfection, so that deterioration doesn't happen. Those are the Shanim HaTovos. Those are the good years, were the years where the world was kitikuna, it was as it's supposed to be, and therefore the year was a year which was tov, it was complete the whole way through. Things remained on that same high note on which they would start. And therefore we daven for the return of that state of the world, which has the proper presence and the proper relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And those are the Shanim HaTovos.
So are those the years when the Beis Hamikdash was
Kayam? Yes. So the Shanim HaTovos, the good years, is referring to the years itself, that it should bless this year to be like those other years which were good years. The Siach Yitzchak says a very different interpretation. The Siach Yitzchak says that the bakasha, the request of Barik Shnasenu Kashanim HaTovos, he says shelo tia hahashba go remes lanu tarbas ra'a ke inyan shenemar vayishaman yeshurin vayivat, that should not cause us, that we daven that the material blessings and the success that we get should not cause us to reject Hashem and to go astray and to be badly influenced for the worse by our wealth, by our bracha, right? The nature of wealth is to create complacency. And we daven that the success, the material success that we have, shouldn't create a state of complacency, a state where we see ourselves as then being self-reliant. Once you have plenty, you say, well, I have everything I need, so now I'm set to go, and I don't need to worry about a Kaddish Baruch Hu taking care of me, because now I have what I need. There's some explain. The Gemara says, the Gemara in the very beginning of Ketan Mevarchim, the sixth parak of Mesachas Brachos, so the Gemara wants to know the source for the brachos that we make on food. And the Gemara starts off, and it finds a source for the bracha acharona of Birkas HaMazon, right? It's the only one that the Gemara finds a source to say that it's from the Torah. So the Gemara then goes through and tries to find, you know, different sources for other brachos, for the brachos on, you know, food, on fruits and on plants and on, you know, all kinds of things. The Gemara ends up failing that, but at one step along the way, the Gemara says that that when that when the how would you know to jump from bracha acharona to bracha rishona? And the brachos right here. This, make sure that I'm saying everything. Alright, I didn't go too much into the Gemara, but basically the Gemara at one point suggests that the reason we would know that the bracha before, if we only had the bracha after, is because if the bracha acharona is if you have to make a bracha afterwards when you're full, so then lefanav lo kol shekein. So then how much more so that you should have to make a bracha beforehand also. Tosos points out that that kal v'chomer is not an accepted kal v'chomer, because at the end of the day, even after the Gemara fails to find a source for every other bracha, you should still end up that hamotzi at least would be do'raisa. If birkas amazon, bracha achrona is do'raisa, and you have a kal v'chomer from bracha achrona to bracha rishona, so then the bracha rishona of hamotzi at least should be do'raisa. And Tosus says we find that that's not true, and therefore Tosus says that kal v'chomer was really only a suggestion in the Gemara, but it's not really true, and therefore it ends up that the only bracha that is do'raisa is the bracha achrona. So there's some who explain that why is it that a bracha achrona is the only bracha which is do'raisa, and all other brachos, why did the Torah only impose a bracha achrona and not a bracha rishona? So the idea of a bracha, the purpose of a bracha, is to recognize and acknowledge and remind ourselves that the brachos that we have, that the tov that we have, the shefa that we have, comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We have to remind ourselves that this came from Hashem. The greater need for that is really after a person's full, when the person's hungry, so they see the lack in themselves, and they realize there's a lack that needs to be filled, and at that point, it's very easy to say, you know, I'm missing something, and so I'm going to turn to Hashem to fill my needs. It's much easier to see that necessity when a person's hungry, but when the person's full, that's the point when the Torah asked him bracha. It's very easy for you to say, well, now that I'm full, I don't have any needs. I can now, after I have everything I have, say, well, I've got what I need, and now I don't need to turn to Hashem, and even say that I did this myself. Look, everything that I got is, I really got it for myself. And at that point, the person is the most at risk from turning away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, that's when the Torah imposes a bracha de oraisa. That's when the Torah imposes a bracha, v'chalta v'savatu v'erachta, that it's dafka, it's specifically when you're sava, when you're satiated, that then it's uveirachta. Then you need to turn and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of this, and I'm still, even though I'm sava, that I have ongoing reliance on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the bracha that we, so this, the tefillah of Baruch Shnasenu is that the material blessing that we have shouldn't cause us to reject the Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is, just want to point out, this is much more than just a particular shortcoming, by which I mean this is much more than just an avera, which is incidental to having wealth. That, you know, a possible risk of having wealth is that you'll then turn away from Hashem, and that's bad because, you know, turning away from Hashem is bad. That's certainly true, but it's more than that, because this really would undermine the entire purpose and goal of having wealth in the first place. Rav Hirsch discusses, Rav Hirsch in the Chumash, his Pirush in the Chumash discusses that the purpose of the bracha of prosperity, the reason that we get, that a person is given prosperity, is to show that doing Ratzon Hashem is not mutually exclusive to living a happy and material successful life. a person is meant to show that having wealth is not a contradiction, to having a successful material life is not a stira, is not a contradiction, to doing Ratzon Hashem is not a contradiction, to living a, to being a successful business, contradiction to being a successful Ovid Hashem. A person who their wealth, the wealth causes them to abandon Hashem, doing Hashem's will, so that undermines and controverts the entire purpose of having wealth. I mean, not only is it, you know, the Aveira in and of itself that you're turning away from Hashem, but you are then undermining the entire, that which you're doing the opposite of what having the wealth, the having the wealth was supposed to be a tool and a vehicle for Kiddush Hashem. And instead it becomes a vehicle for Chilul Hashem, you're, so to speak, you're conceptually destroying the wealth itself. You're turning that which was meant to be something which brought out a madrega of Kiddush Hashem and turning that into a vehicle for Chilul Hashem. So therefore, we are mispalel that the wealth shouldn't cause us to go astray. So the Siach Yitzchak is understanding and reading the words a little bit differently. The when we describe Bariach Shinasenu Kashanim HaTovos does not mean bless the year like the good years, meaning bless the year to be a year of prosperity like the good years, which were years of prosperity, but bless the state of the year, meaning bless us in how we are during the year like we were in the years when we were good. The Shanim HaTovos does not mean a year of good produce, but it means a year when we were good, when we were acting appropriately. Bless this year, that even though we have all of this Hatzlacha and all of this Riboy and all of this Bracha, that we should still be like the Shanim HaTovos. We should still be like we were in the good years, in the years when we were Tov, when we were able to have Hatzlacha and still not have that distract us and turn us away from Avodas Hashem. The tefillah is for ourselves, is not for the material success in and of itself, but the tefillah is for how we react and how we live with that material success. I then move on to the chasima of the bracha, the conclusion of the bracha, the Baruch Atah Hashem Mevarech Hashanim. So we've discussed before the lashon of shanim. The Maharal says this. The Gra says this. That the lashon of shana is related to the lashon of shinoi, of a change. So the Vilna Gaon, right, says Baruch Atah Hashem Mevarech Hashanim. To bless the shanim, to bless the shinuyim, to bless the changes. The Vilna Gaon, commenting on these last words, says that kol shinoi goreim ha'eder hatsura. That normally any change that happens in something, anytime something shifts, it causes a loss, it causes a deterioration, right? The regular law of entropy, the nature of things is to, as it is not, the nature of things is not to naturally come together. The nature of things is to deteriorate. Each change in something, each time something is, right, the nature of raw materials is the more you reprocess and reprocess something, the weaker its constitution becomes. The more something is reprocessed, the more fragile it becomes, the more coarse it becomes. So the nature of things is that the nature of physical world is that change causes a loss, it causes a deterioration, that change has a negative effect. That's the normal way of the world. Hashem is Mevarech Hashanim, that Hashem causes the shinuyim, causes the change will be for a bracha, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu brings about Shlemus, he brings the world towards its perfection, and therefore Kadosh Baruch Hu, the shinuyim that the year presents, that every day, the Vilna Gaon says, Shana Shin Nun Hei, Gematria 355, like the days of a full lunar year, that the every day, those shinuyim, that those changes that happen day by day throughout the year should be for a bracha, that those should bring us higher instead of bringing lower. That's the koach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to go against the natural order of things, and that the shinuyim, the changes that happen, should not result in entropy, should not result in a diffusion and a degradation of the state of the physical world, but they should be for a bracha. The last point that I wanted to discuss, so the Medrash says, we've mentioned this on a few of the brachos. I don't think I've discussed it on every bracha that we've learned, but the Medrash on many of the brachos, or Medrash on every bracha we've discussed on some of them, has a certain point where this bracha was established, was said, pronounced, or inaugurated, so to speak, by the malachim, by the angels, at different points where we said that when the malach came and taught Yosef the 70 languages in the night before he went to meet Paro, so the malachim said Baruch Ata Hashem Chonin Hadas, right? That the Shem, so all of the brachos have some point at which they were instituted. So when Hashem healed Yaakov after his conflict with the Malach, the angel said said Baruch Ata Hashem Rofeh Olei Amo Yisrael. So all of them have some precedent where the angels initiated or instituted that bracha, innovated that bracha. That's the word I was looking for. So this bracha, the Medrash says that. I meant to bring a chumash over here with me. One second. That when Yitzchak was in Grar, this is Brachos Chaf Vav Yud Beis. So the pasuk says, "Vayizra Bashana Ahu Vayaretz Ahu." Just look it up in case I'm. Says. Vayizra Yitzchak ba'aretz hahi, vayimsa bashana hahi me'a sha'arim, vayivarchehu Hashem. And Yitzchak planted in that year, he planted in that place, and he reaped in that year a hundredfold what was expected that should have normally been produced. Rashi here points out that it specifically says ba'aretahi bashanahu bashanahi. It says in that place in that year. Rashi comments here. Rashi says that the aretahi, even though it wasn't such a good land, it wasn't as good as Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't like the main portion of Eretz Yisrael. Bashanahi afal pisha ena ketikna, even though the year was not in its regular appropriate state. Shahisa shenatz ra'avon, it was a year of famine. Ba'artahi bashanahi, says Rashi, shnehem lama. Why do you say both of these things? Lomar sha'aretz kasha vashana kasha. It was a difficult land and a difficult year. And afal pichain, he found mea sha'arim. He ended up getting 100-fold kamar uyalasos, 100 times what the land would have normally been expected to produce. Even in that difficult land, in that difficult time, Yitzchak was able to produce that much. And when that happened, when Yitzchak had that bracha of riboy and shefa, so the angels saw that and they said, Baruch Ata Hashem Mevarech Hashanim. So we're trying just to and explain possibly the significance of this, why this is the paradigm for this bracha. So the Avnei Eliyahu, we've mentioned a number of times, says the brachos of Shemona Esrei following after the first bracha, they all follow a progression of sorts through the first bracha. Though each word of the first bracha corresponds to a later bracha of Shemona Esrei, and we've gone through each one, as he says. And the Vilna Gaon says that this bracha of Birkas Hashanim corresponds to Ozer. It corresponds to the word Ozer in the first bracha. And if you go back to the first bracha, the Vilna Gaon says that what is Ozer? Ozer means that a person does, his part, and Hashem helps. Hashem makes his actions v'matzliach. A person does his input, and Hashem causes it to be successful. Yitzchak, he did his planting in a land which was a difficult land to plant in a year which was a difficult year to plant in. and he came out with a hundredfold of what it was supposed to produce. Because the message is that our success is not in reality dependent, is not directly correlated to our investments, to our input. The Gemara in Kiddushin, Pei Beis Amud Aleph, the Gemara says that in every profession there are poor people, and in every profession there are rich people. To teach you that it's not the profession which makes the money, but everything is taloi in the schus. Everything is taloi in a person's merits, meaning that everything at the end of the day is up to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. A person is poor and the person is wealthy, it's because that's what Hashem has decided for that person. Hashem was gozer for that person. I heard a wonderful interpretation of the psukim. It's the last pasuk in the the third aliyah of Parshas Vashalach. The second aliyah, the last pasuk of the second aliyah in Vashalach says that the Shem tells Bnei Yisrael that you're going to see what I'm going to do in Mitzrayim. You see them here today, you're not going to see them anymore. So the last pasuk is Hashem yilachem lachem v'atem tacharishun. Hashem will fight for you, yilachem, like milchama. Hashem will fight for you v'atem tacharishun, and you tacharishun, you cherashem, you be silent. Right? You sit there and watch. Hashem's going to fight the battle for you. I heard from a Rebbe of mine in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Yaakov Vidmalansky, said that you could really read the Pasuk very differently. You read the Pasuk, Hashem yilachem lachem, Hashem will make bread for you. Yilachem from lechem, Hashem will make bread for you. Va'atem tacharishun. But you have to do the charisha, but you have to plow. Right? So the two opposite readings in this pasuk, you have Hashem yilachem lachem v'atem tacharishun, you fight the battle, but Hashem's going to fight the battle and you keep silent. The opposite reading of the pasuk, Hashem yilachem lachem, Hashem will make the bread for you v'atem tacharishun, but you still have to plow. So I think Ad Kan is, I remember from my Rebbe saying, I just wanted to explain a pshat, understanding of it, that these two opposite ideas are both present in this same pasuk because they go together. The way we see it, the way we might relate to the world, there's an atem, it's Hashem yilachem lachem v'atem tcharishun. Hashem will make the bread, Hashem will make it be matzliach, but you have to plow. That's the level that may be as we relate to the world. But the real pshat is Hashem yilachem lachem v'atem tacharishun. Really, it's Hashem is fighting the battle and you be quiet. We have this madrega, this level, this element of that we put in our effort. Successful. At the same time, it's really, there's a dichotomy of within our hishtadlus that we have to appreciate that it's really Hashem yilachem lachem, Hashem's going to fight the battle v'atem tacharishun, and you have to be, and you be quiet. And you sit and watch, because really, at the end of the day, our hishtadlus is not what creates our hatzlacha. Our effort is not what creates our success, but really, it's kol motzei pi Hashem. It's whatever Hashem decrees. That's where real success comes from. That's where the bracha is really rooted in. So, that being the case, so why do we involve ourselves in parnasa? So, What's the point of the va'atem tacharishun? What's the point of the plowing, right? If at the end of the day, it's really not dependent on what we do, so then we should all just early retirement, and Hashem will provide. So why, if that's what's happening anyways, even when you do the work, it's really HaKadosh Baruch Hu providing. So why do we have to put in the effort? And not only that, but we see a person who's a bum does not make the same living, al harov in general, as the person who goes to law school and spends the next 15 years as a slave working 22 hours a day, right? Even though in general you might have a bum who ends up, you know, hitting it rich because of, I don't know what happens, he stumbles upon, you know, somebody had dropped a suitcase full of money, and you have a lawyer who goes on hard times and you know, ends up losing his house. It's true that, both of those might happen. But in general, we do see a correlation between Parnassa and, between input and output. So how do all these things fit together? So the Gra, Vilna Gaon, the Pasuk in Mishlei, which says, I'm sorry, not in Mishlei, in Shir HaShirim, the Pasuk says that Dodi, that my beloved is Meitzitz min HaCharakim, Mashgiach min HaChalonos, that he's peeking through the cracks, and he's Mashgiach min HaChalonos, and he's looking through the window. That, those two points mirror two methods of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha, of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's interaction with the world, which is the Hashgacha of Hester Panim, Meitzitz min HaCharakim, he's peeking through the cracks, and Mashgiach min HaChalonos, and he's looking through the window. So Yaakov Moshe Kalevsky, the one of the Rosh Yeshiva of Ner Yisrael, pointed out that if you think about in the analogy, so who does that make a difference to? The person watching, the person who's peeking through the crack or looking through the window, he sees the same either way. He's looking and seeing what's happening. The question is he looking through a peephole or is he looking through the window? The difference is in the person being watched. The person being watched, if you're being watched through the window, so you see them and they see you, right? You realize that there's someone watching and there's someone overseeing things and there's someone, you know, is on top of the situation. But if it's Meitzitz min HaCharakim, if he's looking through the cracks, so the person being watched doesn't realize that he's being watched. And that's the difference between these two forms of Hashgacha, are not the control that a Kadosh Baruch Hu has and not the guidance that he has, but it's the degree to which it is revealed in the world. It's a difference from the perspective of the one of the person being watched. After Chet Adam Rishon, when the world was created, so Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu spoke, you know, on a regular basis. The world was such that there was a clear and open revelation of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the world. And Adam Rishon had a mission. I believe we discussed this once in this class, but he had a mission and objectives to be mevatel himself, to realize, to kind of take himself out of the picture and realize that there's nothing else other than a Kadosh Baruch Hu. A Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want you to achieve. It's not important that I do what Hashem wants. It's important that Hashem's will is what's done. There's a recognition that Ratzon Hashem, that the clearest revelation that there is nothing other than a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and all of my efforts and all everything that I do is really irrelevant. The only thing that's real is Ratzon Hashem, is the Ratzon of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. As the clearest, openest revelation of a Kadosh Baruch Hu being in charge is that Ein Od Milvado. There is literally nothing else other than Hashem's existence. Adam Arishon failed in that mission. He said that, you know, I want to do things. He wants to do Ratzon Hashem, but he wants to be involved. And that was his failure, was, so to speak, a certain taking Hashem out of the picture, even though it was, you know, with maybe at the end of the day he had, he's intending on doing the right thing, but he wanted that he should be the one to do the right thing. And therefore is a blocking of with himself of that the totality of the picture of a Kadosh Baruch Hu being in charge. After the Chet of Adam Arishon, after there was a rejection of that clear recognition of Hashem, so what we are left with is the Hanhaga of Hester Panim. We're left with the world in the state of Hester Panim, in the state of a Kadosh Baruch Hu being hidden. A Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world in such a way that there is such a thing as nature, there is such a thing that a person is able to see the world as being run in that way, because a Kadosh Baruch Hu no longer openly presents himself and everything is now done through a Hashem doesn't do nisim, he doesn't do open miracles to run the world. And therefore, we have to be involved in hishtadlus, we have to be involved in putting in our own effort, our own in investment, because we live in a natural world in which a Kadosh Baruch Hu is hidden. But the authentic perspective is that everything really comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and even though there might be a facade that is set up to hide the reality behind the scenes, behind the Hester, behind, you know, through the crack, is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is still absolutely in charge of everything. And that's the necessary recognition in this bracha is that even though it's a bracha for the material success, and we're asking for our crops to be successful and our and all efforts, but at the end of the day, we're meant to realize, we're meant to understand that that it doesn't, that our hishtadlus, our input, our effort is not the sole determinant, is not the determinant of what our of our success, right? That's only because that's the world that we have to deal with. But that's a mask. That's something hiding the reality that really HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of everything. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, there's no reason that this profession is going to be successful and this profession is going to be unsuccessful. At the end of the day, everything is up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And a person who could be on that level, a person who reaches the Madrigo, where they are so totally reliant on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that person is the person that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was describing when he says that how can you have on the one hand you have the Gemara in Brachos says the stira between two psukim says velakachti dagani veito, and then it says vasafta diganecha, says that I'll collect my that I'm sorry, the wrong pair of psukim. It says Va'amdu zarim v'zaru tzonchem, that what Pasuk says that that you will gather your own will, but you know what? I'm getting things back. Let me start over. The kasha that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai basically starts with is you have the egisa bo yomam v'layla. You have, you know, to be involved in the Torah at all times. But it says, you know, that v'asafta diganecha, you're going to have to go out and harvest. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says the psukim are referring to two different levels of a person's existence, two different levels of people. A person who is osin ritzono shel makom, a person whose will, so nasis al yedei acherim, that others will come and they'll harvest his fields and they'll provide for him. A person who so totally is osin ritzono shel makom, completely, 100%, completely masor, completely devoted to doing ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of that person. The person doesn't need to be involved in parnasa. The person who is not osa ratzonu shel makom, which doesn't mean he's a rasha, it just means he's not completely, entirely devoted to just being reliant on Hashem and doing nothing other than ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that person has to be involved in the world. That person is a person who then has to live with the world as we have it. But the person who lives on the level where there's nothing other than ritzono shel makom, so that person actually lives on a level where there is nothing other than ritzono shel makom, and there's no correlation. But you don't need to do hishtadlus. You don't need to put in effort in order to be successful, and everything will work out for that person because he lives on the true level of reality that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of all of his needs.